Tune now for Spotlight Indianapolis with your host, Lisa Howe.
Good morning and welcome to Spotlight Indianapolis. Our weekly program focuses on people and organizations that are creating positive impact every day, including events and current issues that influence our city. My name is Lisa Howe, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll serve as your host. And if you stay with us, you will find out about a convention taking place here in Indianapolis hosting science fiction and fantasy enthusiasts. You know, it is often said that science fiction is the literature of change. Our society is constantly changing. Advances in technology, medicine, and communications, to name a few, help us identify the potential of who we are, what we need, and what we could be. Sci-fi has become a popular way of expressing people's feelings, optimistic or otherwise, about change. These stories represented through movies and literature allow us to escape to places we can only imagine. There are conventions occurring across the country pulling fellow dreamers together and allowing them to share their passions and creativity with others who truly understand that point of view. And this year, July 4th through the 6th, the 34th annual In Conjunction Convention will take place here in Indianapolis. We have been honored to have representatives from In Conjunction on the show before, and in fact, our guest today is returning. He is the con-chair for In Conjunction, Drew Hapley. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming back to meet with us about this.
Well, thank you for having us back.
It's right around the corner, July 4th.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I know you share a passion for all things sci-fi, and with an ever-growing group of indie residents, before we find out about your convention, tell us about you. Are you originally from Indianapolis?
No. I grew up in central Wisconsin, but I moved to Indianapolis 20, 30 years ago now.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, how did you become involved with In Conjunction?
The first year that I went, I didn't actually do anything to help In Conjunction. I just heard about the convention at a local comic book shop, knew that they had gaming, and I went there, and I played games the whole weekend and really didn't see anything else of the convention. Mm-hmm. The following year, I actually ended up helping out with the anime room and then eventually transitioned to do more stuff with the convention, eventually becoming con chair a couple years ago, and this year is my convention as con chair.
Okay. So tell us about In Conjunction, the conference. How did it launch, and how long has it been in existence?
Well, this is our 34th consecutive. It was started by a group of friends who were interested in science fiction back in the late 70s, about 79.
Okay.
The first In Conjunction, though, was in 81. Hmm. And, you know, I don't remember who they had. I know for the second year, as their artist, author, guest of honor, they had Wendy and Richard Peeney, who do the ElfQuest comic book still yet today. They've got a new series that's coming out right now. So, you know, unfortunately, a lot of our authors that we've had in the past, especially those early years, have passed on. But we're always looking for new talent. Like this year, we've got two people that I haven't been to In Conjunction as our author guest of honor, Jack Campbell and Kat Falls. They've never been to InCon before, so this will be fun and exciting for them.
Okay.
And for our attendees to meet someone new.
How you're talking about literature and authors, it mm-hmm. seems like your science fiction fantasy convention is different from some of the other ones we've experienced here in Indianapolis. What are those differences?
In Conjunction does focus on literature. We do bring in, you know, artists, and we bring in gaming guests of honor and media guests of honor, but that's not our primary focus. Our primary focus is literature, whereas like Gen Con is gaming specifically.
Right.
And Indie Pop Con, that's later on this month, is pop culture, and they've got a lot of media, you know, comic book and people from Game of Thrones and, you know, that type of thing, whereas we brought in the author of Game of Thrones mm-hmm. a number of years ago. So we didn't bring in the actors and that type of thing, but we bring in the person that actually created the idea.
It's so far-reaching. Science fiction, I know when we discussed this before, Harry Potter mm-hmm. is an emphasis. Again, that's the literature connection, but it's also fantasy. Game of Thrones. And it sounds like, it's funny that you said your interest launched through comic book comic books or a store that you went to. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I went to a local comic book store and saw a flyer, and one of the employees there was a friend of mine, and he said, yeah, you should really go to this. They've got a lot of gaming and that type of thing. And
oh, okay.
So I went, and, you know, like I said, I spent most of the weekend in the gaming room.
You were just lost in it.
Oh, yeah. I'd gotten the weekend off from work, and, you know, I went Friday, and that was neat, and stayed till, like, 2 in the morning on Friday, and was back there at, you know, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., whatever it was,
sure.
And then gamed till Sunday morning some point, and left finally Sunday afternoon to
Goodness.
Go home.
Talk about getting lost. Why do you think people are so drawn to sci-fi and fantasy?
A lot of times, at least in my mind, it's kind of hope for the future.
Yeah,
it's
good.
You know, we think about what's going on today, and we kind of hope that it gets better. The other thing is kind of an escape from your everyday life. You know, some people do it through TV, some people do it through reading, some people do it through both. But it's when you think about sci-fi, it's what are the possibilities that are out there?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily, you know, my boring, dreary life today. It's what could be out there. What is happening? A friend of mine, Jeff Thompson, you know, every time there's a new scientific announcement, one of his favorite phrases is, you know, I love living in the future.
Ooh, yes.
You know, you think about, you know, the original Star Trek series, and they had the floppy disk looking things, and later
Certainly.
On they had
yeah.
those floppy disks, and now you've got 16 or hundreds of times that information in something the size of your thumb now.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
You know, I like it that it's hopeful.
Yeah.
I like it that it's not something negative. It's not dread about what could happen in the future. It's what are the possibilities and what could we be? I see that as a positive escape, even though some sci-fis are really scary.
Oh, yeah.
Creepy
yeah.
stuff going on, but that's just to take you to the edge. And they always wrap up with the hero saving the day, which is excellent.
Right. And you know, you look at some of the stories out there are the post-apocalyptic, you know, what happens when the world ends,
mm-hmm.
and how do we go on?
Right.
So, you know, there's still that piece of hope there, even though it's very dark and, you know, scary and that type of thing. Battlestar Galactica was a very, you know, the reimagining was a very dark series mm-hmm. compared to the original. But then at the end, you know, they got to their destination and they found what they were looking for.
Exactly. So, you know, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Spotlight Indianapolis. We're meeting with Drew Hapley, con chair for the In Conjunction Sci-Fi and Fantasy Convention, which will take place here in Indianapolis, July 4th through the 6th. And speaking of your convention, tell me a little bit about how it's organized. Do you have a board of directors?
The club that puts on the convention is incorporated and has a board of directors.
Okay.
They kind of do financial oversight. But the convention chair actually has oversight over the convention itself. So the convention chair is the one who gets the guests of honor, and he appoints his committee who then go out and do things like negotiate with the hotel, and they sign up other local authors and local important people and people to talk about their whatever their interest in fandom is. I don't have a list of what those topics are mm-hmm. quite yet because we're still nailing those down.
I was going to ask how you do that. Then obviously you're tapping into something the local Indianapolis residents are going to be attending, trying to get a gauge on what's important to them now. Obviously, you mentioned Game of Thrones and some of the different challenges. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing an awful lot of this, the sci-fi going back to those medieval times. Is that a trend in sci-fi?
Currently it is. I mean, this is not the first time that we've seen, you know, a trend towards that type of thing. Back in the 80s, you had Anne McCaffrey and her Dragons of Pern series. And
oh,
you
yes.
had
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons. And then, you know, it kind of cycles. You know, a couple years from now, all of a sudden we'll be seeing more sci-fi stuff. You know, the sci-fi channels start doing more actual science fiction shows recently here, which has been kind of nice. So you've got things like Metal Hurlant, and you've got Warehouse 13 that's ending now, and they'll probably replace that with something else. So, you know, it's while the fantasy stuff is popular right now, the sci-fi stuff will come back as well. And, you know, some people like just fantasy, some people like the science fiction, some people like both, and we tend to cater to all of that.
Well, we went through a vampire phase. Was that also considered part of this genre?
Yeah. Yeah, we
definitely has to be fantasy.
Yeah, we had a number of, during those couple of years, we had a number of panels about vampires. We had some smaller authors. I say smaller authors, they're just not as well known as, you know, J.K. Rowling and George R.R. Martin and those type of people who write things and publish books about vampires. And so they did a bunch of panels about that type of thing.
Sure. So with shows like Twilight and the vampire series kind of reached tweens and a younger generation, do you see that as an opportunity to build participation in your conventions in the future?
Yes. We're always looking for what new things can we bring in to hopefully bring in some of those younger members, and maybe some of those younger members will become part of the club and part of the staff that puts on the convention.
Okay. So, and you've mentioned the club. The club, you said, is incorporated. Do you meet on a monthly basis?
We meet the first Saturday of the month.
Okay, great.
Right now we're meeting at Valley Mills Christian Church down on the southwest side, right off of Kentucky. We meet, usually the meeting starts around 7:30 and goes till, now it depends on, we do our business stuff first, and then afterwards we break for chaos, which can be anything from last month that was gaming. So a bunch of people brought in games, and we played games for several hours.
Oh, sometimes you indulge your passion at the end of the meeting. There you go.
Once the business is done, then we indulge our passion and do, sometimes we bring in speakers, authors, scientists.
Oh, my. You know,
to talk about something at the meeting. Some of those also come to the convention and then do that same talk or do different talks.
Definitely. If we have listeners interested in joining your club, who should they contact? And
they go to the website, www.circleofjanus.org.
Okay.
And that has all the information there, meeting times, location, a little bit about us, that type of thing.
Circle of Janus. I saw that on your website as well. Could you explain, is that a reference to sci-fi?
Actually, Janus is the Roman two-headed god, looking forward to the future and looking back into the past.
Oh, interesting. My goodness. And so the circle of Janus, your group, that's just a reference to the club.
Right.
Very, very cool. Yep. Now, I understand your club supports some local charities.
Correct. We, with the convention, we always have a charity auction. And that charity auction, all the proceeds, every dime that we bring in to the charity auction goes to those two charities. It's always the Indiana Literacy Association. And then the other one is the Concierge Choice.
Okay. And this year, what is your other Concierge Choice charity?
It is Autism Research.
And that's interesting. Why was that selected?
My son falls onto the autism spectrum.
Okay.
And one of the things that I feel is that we don't know enough about how the brain works. So this group is out there promoting and giving money to scientists to study the brain and to study autism. So hopefully, you know, we can figure out why there seems to be a rise in autism. Why does there seem to be, you know, how does our brain work? And how can we help people that need help?
Excellent. Boy, very fitting. You know, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Spotlight Indianapolis. We're meeting with Drew Hapley, con chair for the 2014 34th Annual In Conjunction Sci-Fi and Fantasy Convention, which will take place here in Indianapolis. Where is the convention this year?
We're at the Marriott on the east side at 21st and Shadeland.
Okay.
We have hotel rooms available. Our prices are guaranteed until June 2nd. After that, I make no guarantees on what the hotel will do.
Okay. For people coming from out of town, or if they want to invite friends from out of town.
Right. Okay. Or if they just want to be able to stay late and not have to worry about driving home and driving back.
Well, there's another good point.
It's a lot easier to just go attend you know, the convention, go to the parties at night, and then go to the hotel room rather than driving home when you're tired.
Yeah. Let's get into that convention now. So what is a typical agenda? How does it start? What can people expect?
Okay. We open up on Friday. Friday afternoon, we don't have as much stuff going just because typically, and this year will be slightly different because the day's a holiday, but typically Fridays are a little slow for us, but people that are coming in for the whole weekend, they're there on Friday. And
sure.
So we'll have some talks and we'll have our opening ceremonies around 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever time my programming chair puts it at. One of our guests of honor, Dr. Rob Pyatt, will do his weird science talk, usually Friday night. Usually it's kind of late, 9 or 10, because it is rated PG-13, maybe R,
okay.
Because weird science gets into some subjects that maybe you don't want the kids to attend.
Sure. Are all ages invited, though, to convention?
Yeah, we have stuff for all ages. I mean, you know, we do state that if you're under a certain age, you need to be with an adult.
For certain workshops or certain...
For everything.
For everything.
Because
yeah.
We're not there to be babysitters.
No.
But there's still plenty of stuff that you can go to that will interest younger kids. My son is 15 now,
mm-hmm.
and he's been going to In Conjunction since he was 10.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we've taken him to various panels and talks and that type of thing. You know, you look at the schedule, you find things that interest you, you go there.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing's really of interest right then, you've got the gaming room. We've got a green, a con suite where you can go and sit down and talk with friends. We've got a dealer's room area. We call it our expo hall, in which we have artists have put up their artwork that is for sale. Sometimes it's ceramics. Sometimes it's drawings and printings and that type of thing.
They can buy things there in the exhibit room or exhibition hall.
Yep.
Excellent.
And then we also have some of those local artists and authors here where you can buy their books from them and get them signed and talk to them about their book. And, you know, if you've read some of theirs, you get a chance to actually meet the author and talk to them about it.
Do they have to sign up in advance for those autograph sessions?
No.
I know with some of them, I know through Gen Con or some of the Star Trek conventions when the big celebrities come, it's ridiculous. The lines that people, they'll wait in line to get those autographs.
Yeah, and the nice thing about InCon is we're not nearly as large. So
it sounds free-flowing and
it is.
Accessible.
It is.
Nice.
So, you know, you'll have a chance to meet Jack Campbell and Cat Falls and Aaron Williams. And, well, Dr. Pyatt's not going to be doing a signing session per se because his stuff is all published in scientific journals, so.
And forgive me, Drew, I don't recognize some of the works of those authors. Could you tell us what they have written?
Sure. Jack Campbell is our author guest of honor. He's written the Lost Fleet series.
Oh, okay.
He also wrote Jag in Space, and Stark War and Lost Stars.
So is this fiction novels or is this a study of science fiction?
These are novels.
Novels. These are all novels. Okay, great.
I just finished the Lost Stars series, Lost Fleet series again, mm-hmm. and really good series, really enjoyed it. I need to pick up the second series of that to find out what happens next. Cat Falls, like I said, is a young adult author. I haven't actually read any of her books, mm-hmm. but they sound interesting. She based off an idea that she got from her 10-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be a mix of, you know, X-Men and Harry Potter and something else. I don't remember how it was described to me,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds fun. Aaron Williams is a friend of mine. He draws the... originally was comic book series PS-238, which is a comic book about superhero kids and the school that they attend.
Neat. Oh, my goodness.
And then he also has started up a new one within the past year called Use Sword on Monster, which is only on the web, www.useswordonmonster.
Okay.
Although it looks like uses word on monster, which... I thought was a great idea for using Word for something
Definitely.
Useful.
Definitely. That was clever.
But, which is a science fiction, well, more fantasy, because mm-hmm. it's got the sword and sorcery type thing, but it's also got some science fiction elements to it. And so he writes and draws those.
Okay.
He'll be there. And then, like I said, Dr. Rob Pyatt, who is, he's, Rob's been around InCon for a long time. Mm-hmm. When he got his doctorate, he started coming back and doing this weird science panel every year. And this year he's got a new panel for us, Science and Scientists in Movies.
Oh, okay, great.
And he actually writes an article for a scientific journal about that type of thing.
Scientist contributions to movies? Are you saying that the scientists that advise on some of the technical information used in movies?
I think it's actually when you see, you know, a scientist in a movie type thing.
Uh-huh.
What they're doing, if they're being portrayed correctly, or how the science is being portrayed in the movies.
Okay. Boy, we sure realized that this year, didn't we, with the movie Gravity?
Yeah.
Boy, scientists and sci-fi enthusiasts and just in general, people that were very interested in astronomy were watching that very closely to see if it was accurate. And they got some criticism because some things were,
yes,
weren't, they didn't nail that down. Now, if you've just tuned in, we are speaking with Drew Hapley. This is Spotlight Indianapolis, and we are meeting with, he is the con-chair for the 2014 In Conjunction Sci-Fi and Fantasy Convention. We're finding out about the convention and when it will take place, which is July 4th through the 6th. Mm-hmm. There's still time to register, and to register for it, they go to what website?
Go to www.inconjunction.org.
You referenced that the hotel that is hosting it has hotel rooms, but what is the cost to attend the convention?
The cost to attend the convention right now, pre-register, is $45.
Very inexpensive. My goodness, for the whole weekend?
Yep.
That's great.
At the door, it'll be $50.
Okay.
And you can also buy daily passes, which range from $20 to $30, depending on which day you're attending.
Hmm. You know, you talk about the different ages that are attending this. Mm-hmm. Is it the same price for the younger people, too?
There is a discount for a certain age, and I don't remember what that is. And okay. Actually, if you're under, if they're like under six, I think it is, it's free to
attend.
They
get in free. Okay.
But don't quote me on that. Check the webpage because it has that information there. It's been a while since I looked at that piece of the webpage.
Okay, and so that's www.inconjunction.org.
Correct.
Correct. Okay, so I hope people will go to that. You know, I find it interesting that, you know, we talked about sci-fi as an escape for people. Definitely the baby boomers who were heavy workaholics needed to escape, and that's probably why all of those shows through the 70s, 80s were so popular. But now this next generation is embracing fantasy. They're also hopeful and looking at the potentials of what will happen. I think it's, I'm wondering if colleges or universities are tapping into this and realizing this is a study worth looking into. Why does it connect with people so much?
Actually, a couple of years ago, we had a local professor from IUPUI who had a couple science fiction-based classes.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. He had one on Star Wars we've heard about, and I want to say one on Firefly as well.
What was the study based upon the themes, the philosophical themes behind it, or was it the sci-fi, the actual?
It was the philosophical themes behind it.
Interesting.
But we've also seen classes, you know, at other universities that have that sci-fi theme, both the philosophy behind it and the science behind it.
Right, the science.
I mean, one of the cable channels there was a big thing that they did about, you know, the science behind Star Wars, and mm-hmm. they did one about Star Trek as well. So in there, they talked about, you know, Luke's prosthetic hand and sure. how that technology has changed over the years to get us closer to what was seen in the movie back in the 70s. So
I was walking through a store the other day, and it occurred to me, person was holding a small phone. You see all sizes of phones. I think it was a little BlackBerry, kind of looked like a communicator from Star Trek, but the thing that cracked me up, the ringtone, mm-hmm. was the communicator opening. It went, it made that click click sound or yeah. whatever. And she picked up her phone and she's talking into it just like you would a communicator. And I thought, then immediately I go around the other corner, person has Bluetooth around his ear. He's just talking to himself, walking around in the store. We are living the future right now.
Oh yeah.
It
yeah.
is kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. You, like I said, you think about the things that they did in Star Trek, the original series. And now we've got, you know, you've got instant communication from you to another person by calling their cell phone. And it's no longer tied to a location. It's
right.
now wherever it's tied to that person instead, as long as they have their cell phone.
It's amazing. Well, and at your convention, you are surrounded by fellow dreamers and creative types that are sharing ideas and things that they're experiencing. Have any special books or publications arisen from your convention?
We used to put out a publication for a long time there, which was writings by our membership and poems and artwork and that type of thing.
Recapping things that occurred during the convention that you pulled in, or just from your club?
Just from the club.
That's a great thing to share.
The people within the club. We haven't put that out in a while, mm-hmm. mainly because we haven't got any submissions and we haven't had an editor to do that. So that's kind of fallen by the wayside. But I know there are other science fiction blogs out there. Actually, we're going to have a local podcast that covers science fiction is going to be at the convention as well.
Oh, excellent.
So, you know, we're getting into that new technology. We've had podcasters there before that have recorded things at the convention, released it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
We've had bloggers there that have covered our convention and posted about their experiences.
Oh, I would think that would help you reach tons of people. Is the membership base or the participation in the conference continually growing?
Yes, it is. That's We've great. Actually, even during the economic downturn, we were still seeing slight growth.
Excellent.
So it seemed like people were wanting to get away from, you know, all the bad news and for a weekend escape and, you know, have fun.
So what are your some of the ways you're going to grow the convention for the future then?
We're always looking for new ways to advertise, to get our name out there. We've got
sure
a Twitter feed.
Yeah, I was going to say social media. My
feed.
Goodness.
Mm-hmm. We're bringing on board a social media director.
Excellent.
As a new department. Previously, it was the con chairs that handled that. Now we're going to actually have somebody else handle that, and maybe they can do a little bit better job than what we've done.
Oh, well, certainly have a huge group of techie people who can be at your disposal.
Right.
My goodness.
So, you know, and, you know, we put flyers out at some of the local stores. The local Downtown Comics has our flyer. So if you're interested, you can go there. Some of the other game stores and comic stores and hobby shops around town will have them as well.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Well, you know what? I hate it. We are at the end of our program, but I want to make sure our listeners know again how to find out about In Conjunction. It'll take place July 4th through the 6th. And they go to what website?
Inconjunction.org.
They can still register for it. Plenty of time.
Correct.
All right. Drew, thank you. I know you have a lot of things prepping for this, and it's right around the corner. This has been enlightening. I mean, it's apparent how passionate you are about the conference. I'm sure that's why you're in the position you're in. I want to thank you, though, for sharing about the convention and sci-fi in general, because it is an interesting topic. It's fascinating to me, and I'm sure to many people. I hope it's a huge success for you.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, if you like sci-fi, Harry Potter, fantasy genre in general, this is the place for you. If you are a fellow enthusiast, don't miss the special convention In Conjunction 2014, July 4th through the 6th. There's still time to register. Go to inconjunction.org. I want to thank our in-studio producer, Don Hauser, and executive producers, Matt Hiblin and Glee Rennick-May for making this program possible. Thank you for tuning in to Spotlight Indianapolis, and enjoy the rest of your day.